Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you have a scary story, email it to me at zachbabytv@gmail.com. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons. You know who you are. Listen to me on the go and follow my podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcast. The information will be in the description box down below. Now, it's time to get spooky. I remember my grandfather as a cruel and ruthless man, a rigid manifestation of bitterness with only two attitudes, sober and mad when he wasn't drinking, or drinking and mad that he wasn't drinking enough. Some days he would tirade about the house, screaming obscenities in German and broken English. Other days he would sit in the dark corner of the house, kept company by only the dark corners of his mind, chain smoking and chain drinking and brooding in tense silence. He would drink until he passed out, wake up, and repeat this process every day for 13 years I knew him. Dean Grossvater, my grandmother would say sometimes with a distant look in her eyes. It was not always this way, her voice would break, and she would fan herself with wrinkled and overworked hands, exasperated like a bird that tries to fly in its cage. The war took his youth. The war took his happiness. It was no secret that my grandfather had fought in the Great War. Relics of a long time past could still be found in the hidden recesses of the house. A strange pistol in a box with some medals, a picture of a young man in uniform on a dresser. The same uniform can be found on a hanger in the basement. And on some nights late in the hours, screams of horror and agony from my grandfather's room. Though the war had been over for over half a century, my grandfather most days was still very much in the trenches, knee-deep in the mud and surrounded by evils that only men could create. One night after another routine evening of drinking and nerve-shattering silence, my grandfather did something unexpected. Something I will never forget, and something a part of me wishes I had never experienced.
Boy!
His raspy, smoke-filled voice broke the silence, making me jump with involuntary nervousness.
Come here!
Slowly and timidly, I approached the unmoving silhouette in its armchair. Everything okay, Grandpa? I asked, trying in vain to conceal my nervousness.
I was just a little older than you when I joined the army,
he slurred in his thick German accent.
I was a fool then, but most of us were. We wanted so badly to make our place in this world, to find our glory, our honor. Instead, we found ourselves in graves.
At this, his voice began to break.
Dying slowly in the mud.
My grandfather stifled tears, trying with great effort to break through his aged face. Once again, his gaze was 1,000 miles from his living room, looking to a place he visited as a boy, and never truly left. It was in this moment that a strange courage and curiosity came over me. I did not know why, but in my heart of hearts I knew there was more he wanted to tell me. A tortured soul desperately wishes to alleviate the burden of its secrets. I knew if I missed the opportunity now, it would never resurface again. I mustered my strength and I asked him. As I did, it felt as if someone else was speaking. They were my words, but someone else was asking them. "Grandpa?" The automation croaked. "The war was so long ago, why can't you leave?" It was a question I wished I had never asked. And by some unholy abomination of a miracle, my grandfather answered. At first, I thought the conversation was over. He fell silent for a long time, staring intently into the great nothingness of his memories. I was just about to stand up and leave when his voice rasped out something once more.
"We were in the Argonne," he said in almost a whisper, as though speaking too loud would bring it all back. "They say it was a beautiful forest, an old forest, but when my comrades and I arrived at the front, all we saw was hell. The trees had been stripped, and the land had been burned, and the bombs had changed everything into a monstrosity, death. It was everywhere you looked. The men lay where they were shot. The rats were fat from their flesh. The smell, it seeped into your clothes and would not go away no matter how hard you tried to get rid of it." He shuddered. "The Americans were pushing us away. Slowly but surely, we did not care. As long as it would end, we were glad to surrender. But the officers, they did not agree to such cowardly thoughts. In the daytime, they would hide with the rats. But when night fell, several of us were picked to sneak into no man's land. We were to set up firing positions and take out Americans who had ventured too close under the cover of night. 3 weeks into my time in the Argonne, I was chosen with 7 others to go out into the darkness." Once more, my grandfather went silent. This one was different, though, than the first. I noticed his eyes were wide and his face was pale. Sweat beaded and dripped from his weathered forehead, and the bottle of ice in his hands rattled chaotically with the trembling of his hand.
"Grandpa," I said, breaking the silence, "you don't have to..."
"They came out of the mud," he shouted suddenly.
It was a sharp and pleading cry, a yelp full of anguish and disbelief.
"They were not men like us. They were monsters. They dragged them all down."
At this, my grandfather, for the first time in my life, displayed to me a third emotion. Dismay. No longer was the fearless brute of a man I had always known, for the first and last time quivering before me on an armchair in his New York home was a broken and shambled little man. Several bellowing sobs escaped his slender frame, ancient and awkward sounding from years and years of repression and drowning with alcohol. Of all the times my grandfather had made me fearful seeing him in such a state, now made me afraid. What could shake such a stern man? What can turn a statue into the shambling ruins that sit before me? As suddenly and abruptly as the fit started, the room once more fell quiet. A glassy look fell over my grandfather's gaze. His voice became slow and robotic, as if the entity that had forced me to ask the question was now forcing the story to finish being told.
"We thought they were Americans at first," he droned, the slur gone, the words clear even through his accent. "Shadows on the horizon, crouched and low. We thought they were wounded and weak, that the mud had slowed their movements. We drove our rifles to shoot them, but our sergeant stopped us. He was worried that we would alert others with the shots. He wanted to take them out quietly. Like ghosts, we crawled our way under the barbed wire and through the craters made by bombs,
until we could hear them moving on the other side of a low ridge. We could no longer see them, but we knew that they were there. He took a long drink from his glass and sighed deeply, as if bracing for the fight all over again. The sergeant ordered me to stay behind and protect the grenades and ammunition, and to cover a retreat if needed. The rest of the men fixed bayonets, readied their knives and their clubs, and jumped over the ridge to kill them. It was moments later I heard the screams, the horrible screams. They did not sound human. It was the shrieks of demons and the ripping of flesh and wails of agony from my comrades. I heard our sergeant start to shout for a retreat, but it was drowned by the ungodly howls. Finally, the battlefield fell silent, awful and silent. He stopped to attempt to refill his glass, but his hands were shaking uncontrollably. Foul-smelling booze splashed around the glass and onto the coffee table it rested on. I took the bottle from his hand and filled the glass back to its brim. He looked at me pitifully and nodded in gratitude.
I had to know. I had to see what happened to my comrades. To help them in some way. Perhaps they were only wounded. I peeked over the ridge and that is where I saw them. Horrible creatures in rags. Their eyes glowed like wolves in the darkness. Their flesh hung off of them in clumps, and their hands were shaped into claws. They did not seem to see things. They crawled low on all fours and sniffed the earth like feral dogs. They tore at the mangled bodies of my comrades, tearing into their flesh and devouring chunks of it. They hissed and growled at each other over the bodies in a rage. I have seen horrible things. Terrible things. I have seen men killed by gas and guns and fire, but never and ever since have I seen a thing as horrible as what lied before me. I wanted so badly to run, but I couldn't move. I was paralyzed at the sight of these monsters, sickened to stillness by the sound of the men's flesh tearing and bones breaking. The creatures had stopped eating. And through the dark, I again saw their eyes gaze directly towards me with the insatiable hunger that had murdered my friends. Again, silence as long as the previous. I could not believe what I was hearing, and had I heard it from any other soul, I would believe it as lies. But my grandfather never spoke, and when he did, it was never about the war. The look in his eyes alone assured me with all certainty that all he was recounting was true. How did you escape? I asked, not wanting to hear any more, but having to know, just as my grandfather had to know.
The Americans heard the struggle and began firing their machine guns, my grandfather said after a few moments of silence. The noise of it all scared them away, but not before they claimed their meal, he said with disdain and disgust in his remembrance of it. They grabbed the bits and pieces and slithered into the mud with them, took them to the bottom of the murk and the mire to save for later.
At this, my grandfather began to fade. The whiskey had finally prevailed over his demons for one more night. And slowly he slumped into his chair and began to slur his words heavily.
Dragged them into the mud. Dragged them all away.
Succumbed completely to his drunken state, light snoring was the only audible sound to be heard from my grandfather now. I sat and stared into his sleeping frame in absolute shock and disbelief. I knew that the war had changed him. I knew the war made him drink. I knew that by now nothing could change these habits, and though I despised him greatly for his constant state, I always at least understood the reasons. But from that night forward,
When I would wake up to the horrible screams in the night, my heart would sink in sorrow and pity for my grandfather. In those moments, I knew exactly where he was, and exactly what was happening to him. He was the boy once more, somewhere in the no man's land of the Argon Forest, being dragged into the mud with his friends.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.